John chapter 5, I've been enjoying this cup of tea, like to call it the Integra tea of Jesus. And he's being squeezed, he's being put in hot water. Why? Because he healed somebody. Why? Because he broke what in their terms were the letter of the law. But Jesus, being the fulfillment of the Sabbath, brought life to this person. And they didn't understand that. They couldn't see past the letter. They couldn't see past that. And that's where a lot of us fall and stumble, is we have the light. We're lighting with the truth. We have the Bible, and we're lighting, but we don't see the path. We don't see the path that God has, and we end up running into trees with our light and different things, and getting off in different places. But we are to follow Jesus. The word illuminates, and the path the Holy Spirit will lead us on is a blood trail of His grace. I heard that shared this morning, that our speech should even be seasoned with grace. Praise God. Where are we? I think we're up to verse 30. No, Paul, you should know, all right? What's the status of a Christian? Just a 30-second review from last week. What should the status of a Christian be? What we talked about last week anyway. Yeah, the Facebook status of a Christian. No, whatever kind of status. This is a status as a state of mind. This is what your life is like all the time, 24/7.
You like Jesus.
The hour is coming and
now is.
Okay, that is the status of a Christian. We know that Jesus is coming, and we read different verses were shared about. It kind of reminds us that when the earth starts falling apart, when there's earthquakes in Mexico, people are dying. When Texas is under siege and they're cleaning up at the same time, Florida's getting slammed this morning. Three different hurricanes out there and things like that. Those are birth pains. Those are reminders that Jesus is coming. It certainly gets our attention. So we know that it's a future thing, but also it's a now thing. The hour is now. So it's a present reality for us all the time, and it shapes our life continually. It says this hope purifies the Christian. It purifies that. Maddie shared about, hey, don't invest in these things around you. Invest in the Lord. And another thing was shared this morning about the door being open. And the Lord would open a door for His Word to go and have entrance. And so those are the things we invest in. Praise God. And that comes all from that being in of that state of mind. That status of a Christian is Jesus is coming, and the hour is now, any moment. I live in that present reality, and that shapes my thoughts, it shapes my actions, it shapes everything, and it purifies my whole life, that whole process. So it's a great status. It's the status we've been called to. Yes, you're washed in the blood, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and now you have the status, this present reality about you, ready to be in front of the Lord. Of course, standing in front of Jesus, you never want the first meeting to be after you die and go meet Him as a stranger. And that's why we're meeting today. Today is the day of salvation, that you would meet your Savior today if you don't know Him, that you would enter into that place of knowing Jesus intimately. We call it a personal relationship. We call it salvation. We call it all of these things. But it's you and Jesus getting together, knowing each other. He already knows you, and you need to enter into that place of knowing Him now. Thank you, Jesus, for the work you did on the cross that made that possible. Praise God. So verse 29 leaves off with that. The resurrection, He's the life. Even the dead will be raised and judged. And verse 30, He continues, I can of mine own self do nothing. This is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, you see a lot of red right here. This is the tea. He's being put in hot water. That's what I'm saying. He's being squeezed. And what comes out is pure, holy truth. And it's to our enjoyment. So we're sipping tea today. We're enjoying the tea of Christ, the truth. And this truth sets us free. I can of my own self do nothing. That's an interesting statement by Jesus. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. That's a mouthful there. The Father already said that He gave judgment to the Son. The Father says, I don't judge anyone. Now Jesus is saying, I don't do that of myself, but I fall back to the Father. So you see an incredible relationship here. between the Father and the Son. Certainly a model for all of us to have in our relationships with people on this earth, whether it's mother, daughter, father, son, father, daughter, or husband, wife, all of these relationships we enter into, we can look at the model of the Father and Son here being brought forward in John chapter 5 and learn a whole great deal. A whole great deal. Just in this verse, it brings it to bear an incredible statement of Him surrendering His will to the Father. If you ever came to our house, you have to cross a train track, and hopefully you'll come out on October 15th. The invitation's going out right now. If you hear my voice, you're invited out on Sunday afternoon, October 15th. We live by a train track, so we have to cross the train track. Hopefully the red lights won't be flashing. But we don't have a problem with the train as long as it stays on the track. And this is what Jesus is talking about here, that His will is right aligned with the Father's will. It's like a train on a track. It's an ugly thing when the train gets off the track. We're called into that same life and walk with the Lord, is that it's on a train track. It's submitted to that track. It's submitted a very narrow way. It's a path that God has made for us. And it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life in the Lord. There's a great thing that happens when that train makes that delivery, when the train stays on the track. It's a great mess when it doesn't. When we think freedom is leaving that track because of the devil deceiving us, as was shared this morning in 1 Peter 5, we think, well, that sounds really good, and the train's off the track, man, it's an ugly mess. It's a very ugly mess. Jesus goes beyond saying, I have a personal relationship with the Father. And so should we. He has a submitted will to the Father, and so should we. There is one God, judgment given to the Son seeking not His own will, but then surrendering it to the Father. So cool, so powerful, so intimate, that if you were to describe the Father and the Son, the Spirit, as any other thing than one God, you would be inaccurate, I tell you that right now. Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit are something other than one God. I would say you are inaccurate. The best description, the most beautiful description, is it's one God. It's one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. We see that so beautifully in this verse here. Jesus surrendering His will. Folks, this is the model of relationship. You will have difficulty in relationships when you don't follow the model that's been given for us. My relationships flourish or fall based on how I've followed the Lord. I see submission mentioned here, of course, a submitted will, but just submission will just leave me in a place. I have perhaps Islam religion, which is all about submission, especially the women, all about submission, submission. Hinduism, kind of the same thing. If I have just submission, it's all about submission, then I have something else other than what God has given to us, the fullness of His joy we have not received, if that's all there is. But that's an important element. My relationships flourish or fall based on submission. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. More than submission now. Yet without submission, I have separation or sin against the other. Our first response to hearing the gospel is one that removes separation. It brings us together with God. That separation is sin. You don't understand what sin is until you feel separation. You might have felt that in relationships you've had on this earth. Somebody does something wrong with you, and all of a sudden there's like a wall up between the two of you. Our first response to hearing the gospel is one that removes separation. And by me submitting my will to the one who gave His life for me, His very life, I find my life. And we see that here, the Father giving to the Son, He gave Him judgment in a few verses before this, and the Son submitting His will to the Father. This is the model of our relationship. This is the model I have with Gretchen. This is the model I have with my children. This is the model I have with you. The relationship is one of submission. The Bible tells us to submit one to another. This is not pastor and laity and that nonsense. God hates that. It's called the spirit of the Nicolaitans, whatever they are. Nicolaitans.
Laodicean.
No, that's
Nicolaitans.
Thank you. And it would come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He hates it. He hates that kind of stuff, that lording over. There's a mutual submission going on. There's a surrendering happening, and that there's a beauty in that, and there's a unity in that. We all have the mind of Christ when we do that. Praise God. That's what I want. I want to join a church, like-minded people. Not my mind, but the mind of Christ. People that are submitted one to another. That's the mind of Christ. Without submission, I have separation or sin against you, and against God. Submission brings me into a place where separation is closed. Sin is healed. I submit to the blood of Jesus, what he did for me on the cross, and I am together with him again. I'm redeemed. I'm saved. I'm born again. Simply by submitting my will to the one who gave to me, by receiving this gift of life. Our salvation is a helmet, as described in the Bible, part of our armor. It's a new frame of mind for a relationship of submission. Sometimes we lose, by the way, I'm going to talk about other elements of our relationships besides submission. I made that point already. If I just leave it there, then we have Islam. But there is something much more beautiful to the package, and it's all in this T, integrity of Jesus being brought out. But this is a very important element. Our salvation being a helmet, a new frame of mind for relationship based on one of submission. Sometimes we lose that when we hear the word repent as if it's some type of fleshly sorrow that brings our salvation. Repentance is the submitting of myself to him. Turning away from my old life, it's a submitting myself to him and his ways. A very different direction from elevating self that I've been taught all my life. To look out for myself, and it's all about me, and elevating myself. No more, it's one of humbling. I think that was read a few times. Peter was read chapter 5, right? Humbling ourselves before the Lord. It's a place of submitting. It's humbling. What beauty there is in that place. You'll find Jesus at the cross there. One of decreasing so that he may increase. And we do that with each other. We do that in marriage. We do that in the church body. Decreasing so they can increase. And they're doing that back to you. Really cool. If I just have this submission, though, such an important element, I have what might be termed as slavery, and it could go in that direction. A spirit of bondage, what I shared from Romans 8. Again, to fear is just about submission, and that's it. There's nothing else. Here's the Ten Commandments. Do it, or you're going to burn in hell. That is a spirit of bondage, again, to fear. That's submission. That's the old covenant. The new covenant speaks this way, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's you, me, and you, the guy down the street, would believe in him, should not perish, but have life everlasting, and that life everlasting begins now. If I have just submission, I have slavery, a bondage of fear. What's the missing ingredient, then, that's being brought out in this integrity that we're sipping today of Jesus? Perhaps ingredient is the wrong word, because this is much more than an ingredient. It's the whole product. And verse 20 tells us that. We're learning about relationships here by studying the Father and the Son. Your relationships will fail or flourish based on how you follow this model. Guaranteed. Verse 20, the Father loves the Son. Ah. That's not just an ingredient. That's the finished cake. Gretchen talked about cupcakes and pies and pumpkin things and all that good stuff. This is the finished product, love. Love is not the sugar that goes into the cake, but it is the cake. It's the wholeness of God. God isn't love and something else. His completeness is love. God is love. That is the cake. And by the way, you can have this cake and eat it too. The cake has been given to us, and we submit to it by consuming it. By consuming the truth. By consuming that God loves me, that he took my sin, everything that I've done, Everything that I looked at that I never should have looked at. Everything that I've said that wasn't graceful, that was judgmental. Everything, every cuss word that's come out of my mouth, he took it. He took it all. Everything I did out of pride that lifted myself up. Everything I did that was hurtful to other people, he took it. He said, I did it. He became my sin on the cross. He became that serpent on the cross for me, a mystery that I only can be able to worship him for, and just began to skate on the surface of understanding how a God could do such a thing and love me in such a way. I've got to eat this cake, though. It's set before me. I could push it aside and say, I'm sugar-free, or I'm this, or whatever. And I could say, you know, I'm this or that or the other thing, but I've got to eat it. I've got to eat this cake. I've got to eat what's been prepared for me. God is love. That's the completeness of him. That's the wholeness of God. He's a holy God. If you have something less than love, which all men have fallen short of the glory of God, which is love, you have something different. You're like at the circus or the county fair where they have the funny mirrors. There's distortion in your life. You might have a lot of patience, but there's no joy. It's all, you know, you might have long suffering. But there's no tenderness, there's no gentleness. You know, you have a distortion. We've fallen short of the glory of God, his wholeness, his love. But yet it's there before us, a cake that's prepared for us, all the ingredients done. It's been cooked on the cross. It's all, he says, it's finished. Just eat it, consume it, Paul. You can have your cake and eat it too. John 3:16 declares that. So the element, the aspect of this relationship that we're to model all of our relationships with is another one after submission is love. By the way, giving and submitting to that giving of love is the model of marriage. No strange thing that what works with God also works with the ones that were made in his image. You can spin your wheels if you'd like. Or you can look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. I think Mandy read a little bit of it this morning. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jen, you're asking about the arm of the Lord. There you see it right there. There's one manifestation of it in the scripture. Seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So the strength of God to us is Jesus Christ. That's the arm of the Lord to us. The strength of God to us is Jesus Christ. Him coming, the Word becoming flesh, coming to this earth, dying on the cross. That's the arm of God reaching out to man, picking me up off this human race track and picking me up, dusting me off, making me white as snow. And now carrying me to the finish line. Amen. There's more aspects to a relationship there. We could spend more time, of course, talking about this, the father and son relationship, and I've spent a lot of time here. But take this as a personal study. There's a couple other aspects here. Verse 26 talks about life. The father has life, the son has life. There should be life in our relationships. Go and study, ask God what that means. Ask him to show you what that means. He will. Verse 23, honor. The Father is honor. The Son is honor. They honor each other. Perfect relationship, the Father and Son. There's your personal study for you to take a takeaway. What's honor mean in relationships? Study the Father and Son. What's life mean in relationships? What's that mean in the context of the Father and Son? What's that mean in the context of your relationships here? Your relationships on this earth, your young people, your future husbands and wives, your children, will fail or flourish based on your knowledge of this. How the Father and Son are related to each other, how they love each other, how they honor each other, the life that they have within them, and the submitting one to another. We're always moving forward in our relationships, aren't we? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just a quick funny story this morning. Asher blowing the duck horn that Roger gifted our household with. Nicely every 3 seconds. So Gretchen's trying to focus on the last brushing up of the music. So kind of compete a little bit with a duck call. So she's handling that. She's kind of riding the wave. And then, oh, something wrong with the computer. The sound's not coming out. And I could hear her frustration, so I pick up on that. I'll go over and help her. Here, I got it, honey. Right on her foot. Step on it with my big clogged shoes. And she just goes, aah! And she looks at me. We are all on our way by studying the Father and the Son through the gift of the Holy Spirit to enter into perfect relationships on this earth and with Him in heaven. Praise God. It doesn't always look perfect, though. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Personal study, go study about these relationships that He has with His Son. We are smack in the middle on verse 30 there of slowly sipping this important cup of tea, the integrity of Jesus Christ being brought out by the persecution. I guess he's my nephew. I don't know, my niece's husband. What's that called? Do you still call him a nephew or nephew-in-law or third cousin twice removed? Okay. His name is Chris. He's going to a secular college, SUNY Cortland. I went there and drank beer for a year. And he's there actually doing battle for his faith, contending for the faith. I'm very, very encouraged by what Chris is doing. My prayers are going to be, part of my prayer life is going to be including his battle. He's taken a lot on his shoulders. He's working two jobs. He's a new father now, new child, Nathan. We just got to see him yesterday, went down to Owego. And all during the dinner down there, he's got his nose in the book. And I go to look what book he's looking at. I know he's a history major, and he's looking at the Bible. And he just can't get out of it. I mean, he's talking to Maddie about stuff, and he's in the Bible. And we go into another room, he's in the Bible, and you know, he's still interacting and stuff. He's in the Bible because, as a history major, believe it or not, it doesn't matter what, if you go to a secular college, it doesn't matter what major you are, they're going to attack your faith. It is a hamburger meal for the faith these days. They're sharpening their professors who declare themselves to be wise. They're sharpening their axes. They're ready for the fresh meat to come in. These young kids who have faith that's a little bit unstable, unsure. They've been sharpening it for years. Come on in. Whack on your faith. Hey, both of us were just livid coming home. Just angry. The righteous anger that God is making something, preparing millstones for these guys, these professors at college that are slaughtering the faith of our children. I have nothing good to say about them. Because Jesus doesn't. It says it's better for them to have a millstone hang around the neck cast to the depths of the sea than cause one of these children to stumble. This young guy, the young father, he's got all the pressures, everything coming upon him, and now he's got this garbage. He just wants to be a history teacher, American history, and teach the truth about our nation. And he's got to contend for the history of Jesus now, and they're saying, you can't trust the Bible. It's the same garbage from Genesis, where Satan says, has God said? Did God say? Putting doubt on the Bible, putting doubt in the Word of God. Same stuff, same old thing, run over again and sharpened like a sickle. Preparing you for the next verses here. These are the testimonies. This is the witness of Jesus coming out here in several aspects. So power to Chris in this aspect, in this particular chapter. And power to us as we go out there and face the dragons. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Jesus is under the same kind of thing here as Chris. Who are you? Who's your authority? Where are you from? If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bears witness of me, and that I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. He's speaking of the Father there and the Holy Spirit. That's the first witness, and we're going to come back to these. Verse 33, he sent unto John. You went unto John. You went to see him out there in the desert, John the Baptist. And he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So his first witness is the Father, that's his greatest witness. Now he's speaking of John, that's number two, John the Baptist. And he continues, and the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. That's number three, the scriptures. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men. So the Father is his greatest testimony. And the works that the Father has sent him to do and fulfill, the greatest work would be to die for me and you. Can you imagine that, being born to die and having that knowledge as even a youngster, knowing that that's my destiny, that's my career. What's your career? You ever sit in a guidance counselor? What do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be a purple cow. I don't know. When you're in high school, they ask you these questions. I don't know. And then you try to pretend like you're growing up and answer a question. I think I want to be a... Right. Jesus knew that. He knew exactly what his career was. His career was the cross for you. These are the witnesses of Jesus. These are the things that you were surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. A cloud of witnesses. That means you're surrounded by things that tell you that Jesus is true and what he said is true. First of all, the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission is that we go out into the world and we make disciples of other people following Jesus. Do you know that you're just entering into a process that's already taking place? John 16, which we're going to get to, if the Lord doesn't come back beforehand, tells us that the Holy Spirit came to convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment, the earth is ending, all that kind of stuff. The Holy Spirit's here giving us that truth that we know, hey, there's something going on. There's something going on. That's the Holy Spirit convicting the world. That's part of the witness of Jesus. That's part of the witness. He said, I'm going to send that comforter to you to tell you that don't invest in this world. Invest in the kingdom. That comforter to tell you that I love you. I died for you. That comfort to tell you that your love is distorted and you need to be healed. You need to be made whole. Thank you, Jesus. So that is the number one witness, is the Father, Holy Spirit. Number two, just giving a list here. John the Baptist, this is the testimony of man. Jesus did not learn who he was from John the Baptist. He didn't go out to the desert and say, hey, there's the Messiah. And Jesus said, oh, me? You know, it wasn't that. He already knew that. So that's what he's saying here. I didn't need the testimony of man, but it was for you and me. We need the testimony of man. That's part of the cloud of witnesses in our life. Maddie, Mindy, Roger, Patty, Gretchen, Mark, Seth, all the people in here, Cheyenne, all the people, you will stand as a cloud of witness for somebody in your life. That's an important part of the witness of Christ. Matthew 21 brings that out, where Jesus actually brings that testimony of man to bear, John the Baptist, who would say, hey, this is the Lamb of God. They asked him, hey, what authority do you have doing this and teaching in the temple and doing all the stuff that you did, healing and all these things? And he turned that around and asked them a question. He said, you tell me, was John's baptism from heaven or from man? And they knew they would get in trouble with that, so they just kind of backed off. But that's part of the testimony of Christ. The Father, the Spirit, John the Baptist, the testimony of man. Verse 38 is works, this is number three. The works that the Father sent. We're right in between works here. Between this cup of tea, you see the work that he healed a man, told him to rise up, take his bed and walk. And now we're going to see the multiplying of the fishes and loaves, another work that he does. Right in between that, we have our tea with our bread and fish. That's pretty cool. But this is the testimony of Christ. It's part of the cloud of witnesses around us, is the works that he did. We shared about some things this morning. I shared about Gretchen's sister. There was other testimonies Jan shared. There's other things that were shared this morning about testimonies that's going in your life. So important to bring that in to the body. You guys hear me tell you all the time, don't be afraid. It's just a little thing. Even Jen, when you shared about your dog, and you might think, well, that's just a little thing. Should I share that? Yes. Share. Bring the testimony. It's important to the witness of Christ to have these testimonies surrounding us. So we see the works of God then and now. They're all around us and His bride happening. Gretchen's sister in tears yesterday. That's testimony. That's a cloud of witness in my life now. The reality of Christ in her life. That's bearing witness to Jesus. There's Jesus right there standing, the tears coming down her face, saying, man, He released me, set me free. There it is. There's the witness of Christ. I could take that to the professor that's grinding his axe, ready to slaughter the kids, and say, take a look at that. Explain that. That's just one of the clouds of witnesses. That's just part of it. He gives us so much. It surrounds us. If that's not enough, He gives us the scriptures. Oh my goodness, that's huge. By the way, other faith believes in the works that Jesus did. They even believe, the Muslims believe, that He raised somebody from the dead. They even believe that Jesus was a prophet. He raised somebody from the dead. He did miracles. He did all this stuff. That's just one of the witnesses, though. Where they failed is this next one, is the scriptures. They failed in the Word of God, and that's why they've gone down the wrong path. They're following another Jesus. If you're talking to someone, they say, well, I don't believe the Bible is for today. I believe it's filled with error. Listen to me. Don't. This is one of the most incredible clouds of witnesses that surround us. This is Scripture. There's so much of it. There's layers and layers and layers of Scripture that even if you take a mathematical look at it, which some guys do, they spend a whole life just looking at the mathematics and the scripture and the witness that speaks to Christ. Of the chances of him being born in Bethlehem, all this stuff. It's just amazing, the layers after layers of layers that the scripture says it speaks to Him. You are looking in the scripture to find life. Oh, I want a better marriage, I want a better job, I want a better life for myself, I want people to pay attention to me. Don't do that. Don't do that. Go into the scripture and find Jesus. Find Jesus. It's a witness and testimony of Jesus. And then all the other things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek Jesus as you go into the scripture. Some notes to take real quick. We're out of time today. But go find Jesus in the scripture. Go find Him in Isaiah 55. Write it down, please, if you got a pen or pencil. There should be papers you can write on your song sheet if you want. We don't reuse those. Some homework today, besides just studying the relationship of the Father and Son, I want you to look at the testimony of Jesus in Scripture. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. Job chapter 9, you're going to find a very interesting passage about there, about a man crying out for someone to put his hand on him and put his hand on in heaven. Sound very familiar? Psalm 22. This is just a tiny, 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 tiny bit. Psalm 23. Isaiah 53, 1 through 6. The characters, you don't have to do all of these, but please do. Characters Ruth and Boaz, what that represented in Christ. Moses, what did he represent? Joseph, Daniel, what did they represent? Of Jesus. They're speaking of Jesus, all these things, all the scripture. Notice I just took all that stuff, it was all from the Old Testament. All of that is all about Jesus. Very interesting the way Jesus phrases that. He doesn't say you should read your Bible. They were doing that. Rather, how you read it. Do you ever have a conversation with someone and you feel like it wasn't a conversation, it's just one-sided, as if you didn't exist? Don't let that happen. Your Bible experience, don't just be a reading type thing. You go into an interchange with God. You're listening. You're going to hear His voice speak to you. The Word is alive and powerful. Praise God. So some questions to finish today. I'm going to ask you some questions. It has to do with the witness of Christ. So important today. Our faith will be tried. As iniquity abounds around us, that means trouble and tribulation around the world. As the world is being shooken up, your faith will also be challenged. And this tea, this hot water, will be your experience. And what comes out of this tea, You want to be pure and holy and right. And that happens when you receive Jesus. And I'm going to ask you some questions this morning. Will you receive the witness of the Father giving Jesus? For the Father so loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Will you receive and submit to that love? Okay, you can receive it. That means you take it into your lap. But by submitting it, you're actually eating that cake now. You're receiving that love into yourself. It's one thing to receive that cake. You look at it, you study it, and okay, this is a chocolate cake, and it's got peanut butter icing on it, and it looks like it was made by grandma, and you know, you're studying, analyzing it. It's another thing to consume it. It would have been a great Sunday to do communion. You know, it's to bring it in, to bring in the love of God. Wow, you really love me, Lord God. I'm going to take that in. I'm going to take that into my very being. That you love me, Lord God, and even when I'm bad and enmity with you, Lord God, that you died on the cross for me. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord God. I take that, receive that in. Will you do the same? Will you receive and submit to the love of God right now? Will you do that? And going forward. Folks, this isn't about the witness of Jesus Christ. This isn't just about get you in church and get you saved and then forget about the rest of your life. This is an everyday reality for you. Receiving the witness of the Father's love is an everyday thing for us. It's the very food we live on. Number two, a question for you. The witness of the Holy Spirit is one of a gift of conviction. That's saying there's something wrong with my love. It's distorted. There's something distorted in what I have. Will you receive and submit your need for a Savior now and going forward? My answer is yes. Number three, the witness of man, John the Baptist. The testimony of Jesus in people's life that are around you that have spoken to you. Do you see Jesus in other people? Do you accept what they have told you is real? I do. I receive that as a genuine witness of Jesus Christ. Number four question, the witness of the Scriptures. And that's the study that I've given to you. Go and study that at home and answer the question. Do you receive that as a witness of Jesus Christ? Folks, I'm telling you in desperation, you need to stand strong in Jesus in these last days. Number five, and the last one, is the witness of his works. I got him out of order a little bit, sorry. The witness of his works, the things that he's done, the feeding of the 5,000, the different things that were reported, particularly in the New Testament. So that takes you into the New Testament. Do you believe those things as a witness of Christ? I'm telling you, Buddha does and Muhammad does. So if you don't, you're way out of line if you call yourself a Christian. But they're missing something. They're missing all the other witnesses that bring us into that hearing of the Lord and that becoming alive and powerful and us being saved even. We need to receive the full package, and that full witness empowers us. So that's the invitation this morning. Next week we will get to the dividing of the fish and loaves as we enter in chapter 6. My prayer to you this morning is that you're just real and strong. And the Holy Spirit will bring conviction to you as needed. And when you feel that hot water coming around you, and what comes out of you that is in agreement with what you know to be a child of God, immediately surrender it to the one who loves you. Immediately just surrender it. That's the path where you'll be healed. You'll be healed instantly. He's waiting for you with open arms to heal those times and those places that need healing. Thank you, Jesus, for this time that we've been able to share with each other testimonies, we've been able to sing one to another. We got into a new song that just is incredible, Lord God. What a beautiful song, Lord Jesus. I do agree with Gretchen. We want to lift up our brothers and sisters, especially in the South, Lord God. In Mexico, too, some of these places we've visited, Lord, we know some of these people, Lord Jesus Christ. And they're real people, they're real communities, real faces, real children, real everything. This is not something on the TV. It's reality. We thank you, Father God, that we can enter in an agreement, Lord Jesus, and our hearts be knit together with these people, Lord Jesus, and lift them up to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you're moving mightily. We pray for Samaritan's Purse, Lord God, the ministries and agencies that are out there that are doing the the hands-on work, Lord God. Strengthen them, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Enjoy the day. My goodness, it's a beauty.